Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the matchup for the Tennessee Vols later this afternoon at Bridgestone Arena against the Florida Gators. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing well. Thank you guys for having me on this morning, and as I believe Joe said it, in the best time zone that there is.
So I'm glad
to be here.
Great time zone here in the Central Time Zone for sure. Mike, I want to start simply with the matchup for the Vols against Florida. Obviously, some good success for the Vols against Florida this time a week ago, an undermanned Gators team at that time, now a healthier Gators team. What do you think of this matchup for Tennessee against Florida today in the SEC tournament?
Yeah, it's certainly tougher for Tennessee with Trey Mann being back. I mean, he was so terrific yesterday against Vanderbilt and has been throughout the season. That changes a lot, I think, when it comes to this matchup. But really everything to me with Tennessee just comes down to which team is going to show up. And all year long, through SEC play at least, it's been a coin flip of if you're going to get good Tennessee or what is this Tennessee. And that's kind of the story going to this one, too. If Tennessee plays like it did for the final 25 minutes Sunday, it probably wins. If it plays like a team that was there for the first 15 minutes Sunday, it's going to lose. And that's just been the unfortunate tale of this team throughout the past couple months.
All right, I just tweeted. This is Tennessee beat writer Mike Wilson presented by Gus's Deli. What do you think?
I accept it. I did clip yesterday that my Mission State degree was sponsored by Crunchy's Buckets. But I'll take Gus's Deli for now.
I mean, that's a good one, right? Good one over in Knoxville, right? I've never actually eaten there.
Elijah's, I haven't either.
You haven't?
I have not. No, it's very much in the busy part of New York campus that I try to avoid because it's just too trafficked and that's not really my scene. I'm too old for that now, Joe. I'm mature.
Yeah, okay. Are you talking into a bottle right now? Like, are you – you're coming through very fuzzy. Can you change that at all?
I have headphones in. I can change that.
Yep, that's better. Is that better? You guys
sure.
Hearing that?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Good job, Mike. You deserve your presenting sponsor. Okay, what was the question that Robbie asked you? Okay, let's go to the next question. God. Give me your player, Mike, that if you could get the absolute max out of this player, you would choose this player and it gives this team the best chance to have a long march.
Ooh. It's a toss-up for me between Victor Bailey Jr. and John Fulkerson. Victor Bailey Jr. is where I'm going to go, though, because he's the best scorer that this team has. When he's making shots, a lot of things change for this offense. And when he's taking smart shots, a lot of things change for this offense. And he's been doing that kind of through the past five games. I think he had a scoreless outing at LSU on the 13th, and since then he's been absolutely terrific. And that is where Tennessee needs him to be when he can score and when he's not giving up more points in the defensive end and he's scoring,
yeah.
Which is a key thing here too. He's a guy that can really change a lot for Tennessee just because they do struggle offensively too often. And he's a guy that consistently looks for his shot and lately has been making them in volume.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Mike, you brought up John Fulkerson there, and it's been interesting to watch him this year. And Joe and I have talked about at times there just seems to be not much aggression in his game. I thought he came out, obviously had a really good game against Florida last week on senior day. Where do you think he is right now in terms of the aggression and the mindset that he brings to the floor? And how important is that part of it going to be if Tennessee has any chance to make a deep run here in March?
Oh, it's huge. He had a good game at South Carolina too, but then kind of tailed back off. And I think the key is just finding a way for John Fulkerson to duplicate a good performance because it hasn't been seen. And it's been hard to pinpoint really what's going on with him this year. He averaged like 18 points a game for the final 10 last season, and I think he's only scored 18 once this entire year. It's just been such a strange season. But, to paraphrase things that Rick Barnes will constantly say, for Tennessee to reach anything near the team that it should be, it's got to get a good version of John Fulkerson on a steady basis. And they haven't had that to this point, which is why they went 10-7 through SEC play. That's why he was right there in my mind with Victor Bailey Jr. is the guys who will kind of dictate what this team's able to do moving forward, because he's so important, both in his ability in the post and everything he does for this team.
Who's the leader of this team, Mike?
Ooh. See, I think it's Josiah Jordan James, and I think it has to be. I also think he has to be more vocal and maybe combative at points. I don't know that this team has... You look back at those really good Tennessee teams 2 to 3 years ago, and they had so many alpha dudes like Admiral Schofield, Lamonte Turner. Just dudes you don't want to mess with. And if you're on the wrong side of, they're going to come at you for it. I don't think this Tennessee team has one of those, which is something I've wondered if they've needed at points. And I think it's been clear they have. But it's just Cy Jordan James' team. He is the most respected dude on that team, and I think he's the definite leader.
Mike, we've seen this team at times this year be probably what we'd all classify as elite defensively, especially early on in the season. And I think we've seen flashes of it since then, including in the second half last week against Florida. Where's your confidence level that they can get back to that more consistently as they move forward here? That's been the big issue, obviously, is consistency with this team. But defensively, it feels like they still have the capability of being an elite team in that area.
Yeah, and statistically they are. I think they're still ranked top five in KenPom's defensive efficiency for the whole season. And even with some of those maybe downturns they've had at points and how they've guarded, but that's how this team has to win. That's their calling card. That's what they've got to do to win, because the offense has been so up and down. And I think the key for that too is there's been so many points where shots aren't falling and there's not as good defense resulting on the other end. And Tennessee has to marry the way it plays on both ends of the court to be successful, because so much of its success on offense is predicated on its success on defense, which is why they were so good against Florida in that second half. They were a bad 3-point shooting team in that game. I think they made 3 out of 20 something attempts, but they scored really easily because they played great defense and got out and scored off that. So that's everything to this team. And you'd like to think they could put another game together, especially since they're facing the same team for the second straight time. But, again, so much of what this team is a coin flip, it feels like.
Well, and then you throw in Trey Mann, who can get wherever he wants, And that's another thing. It's like Vescovi, for example. I feel like, first of all, he's gotten way better this year defensively. He's solid. He's sound. He's very good positionally. He understands the game. He's a great team defender. But there are guys who just can beat him, when they had Jordan Bone, who maybe wasn't one of the alphas of that team you talked about, but was a really important part on both ends. You can stop the point guard, the quick point guard that maybe, gets Vescovi in trouble. What about him and his role in this team and in this run, if there's a run to be had?
Yeah, that's funny, because I talked about him for a good bit yesterday with a friend, and he isn't a good on-ball defender, as you're saying, but he's so good at understanding angles and passing lanes and all the little crafty things. So he is effective, but he still falls a little bit in that Victor Bailey Jr. camp of needs to score more points than he's allowing. And Trey Mann is a dangerous person in that respect. I assume that Tennessee will throw Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson largely at Trey Mann today, because those are the better two on-ball defenders they have at guard, obviously. But Santi is important. He's got to make good decisions in transition, hit three-pointers, because he's probably the second-best three-point shooter on this team behind Bailey. Those are just a couple of simple little roles he's had. He's had a quiet year. I think just people haven't latched on the same way, because last year, he comes in midseason, makes a flurry of three-pointers in every game, bites his arm all the time, and people are going crazy for Santiago Vescovi, but he's taken a back seat, but there's still an importance to his shooting and his decisions in transition that matter a lot for Tennessee.
Well, I'm glad you finally brought up the two most talented players on the team, who I feel are going to both have to be really good. And to me, like, I guess if I could pick one thing for both, I would say Keon Johnson, just be a little bit less loose with the ball. I mean, I love when he attacks. And Jaden Springer, shoot the three, right? I mean, he's the best three-point shooter on the team, but I feel like he looks to be chased off the line sometimes versus go ahead and take that 43% or whatever he's shooting, three-point shot, and utilize that. So I want to ask you about that and just what you see from those guys. And are you just assuming, both guys are in the NBA next year?
A lot of questions there, Joseph.
I'm packing them in, Michael.
That's now I understand what it's like being a coach when I ask a three-part question and have no idea what to say first.
You do that a lot, too, by the way.
Yeah. What is this? Absolutely correct on Keon Johnson. He's just been too loose with turnovers lately. Had a really heavy string of them late in SEC play. Cleaned it up a little bit lately. And the Jaden Springer three-point shooting thing is really interesting because he doesn't take a lot of them, but he makes them. But yeah, you're right. He's so much more interested in pump faking you, stepping in, taking an elbow jumper, or stepping into the elbow, passing into the paint. I mean, those are the things he ends up doing a lot. But I want to see both of them score and make good decisions offensively, because I think you're going to get capable defense from both. But the reason I haven't brought them up to this point is, of all the players on this team, it seems like those are the two that you kind of know what you're going to get. Game in and game out. I think you throw Josiah James into that mix too, Eve Pond at points, but the two freshmen are the ones that you feel like, all right, you're probably going to get about 15 points a pop from each, probably a little bit more from one. You're going to get probably 10 assists, 10 rebounds between the two of them. I mean, you actually have an understanding of production from them, and that's something the rest of the team hasn't had. But they've got to continue to be those players, because this team is really good when those two are running the offense in transition and making it happen. They're also really good when Keon Johnson is playing the 3-4, kind of switching off with Josiah Jordan James. That's a really effective lineup for them. As for the NBA, we'll get there now. I assume both are gone. I think there's a slimmest of slim possibilities that Keon Johnson could be roped into improving his offensive game, because that obviously is something that has a long way to go for him. I think Jaden Springer is much more polished in terms of a pro prospect. He's not going to wow you and be a lottery pick, but I think he's just such a solid, capable player on both ends of the court that he's probably 100% gone. And Keon Johnson's got to be like 98%, right? I mean, just the athleticism, the lottery pick element, but let's also be fair, he's probably a lottery pick if he goes in a year as well, if he comes back to work on his offense.
Yeah, I'm drafting him before I'm drafting Jaden Springer, but I hear what you're saying. He's definitely more polished. By the way, Springer, shoot the three. Pons, don't shoot the three. Go by that rule, and this team has a chance.
Pons, get to the hoop and get to the free throw line eight times a game.
Oh, please.
That's the answer for Eve Pons, too. It's so funny that we're this late in the season talking about Tennessee basketball, and it's so many little things that seem so obvious that have to change. Jaden Springer taking three-pointers more. Eve Pons, get to the rim, because you are the most athletic person on the court every time Keon Johnson's not on it. Like that's just the reality of what this team can do, and we're still talking about such little details that should have been sorted out seemingly a long time ago.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Mike, appreciate you taking time to join us today.
Oh, absolutely. Glad to join.
Absolutely. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel, and we'll continue this discussion when we come back, looking ahead to Tennessee's matchup today against the Florida Gators. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The NCAA tournament is right around the corner, and it's time for you to sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, Cool Springs Wine and Spirits, European Collision Repair, and Coach's Corner Sports Grill. Go to thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app now and sign up to play. The brackets will open after the teams have been selected coming up here on Sunday. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll get back into some college basketball talk shortly. But, Joe, there is some breaking news in the NFL. This coming from Adam Schefter from ESPN. quote, Tom Brady reached an agreement with the Buccaneers today on a four-year contract extension that voids to a one-year extension that locks him into Tampa through the 2022 season, sources tell ESPN. So basically, that's a very fancy way of saying Tom Brady has signed a one-year contract extension that takes him through the 2022 season. But that does mean he'll be 45, almost 46, when this contract extension takes place.
He's just getting started. How old was Yoda in Star Wars? You're not a Star Wars guy, are you?
900.
Like 750 years old?
You think he's older than that?
Brady's got another 700 years in him.
Like Methuselah.
Yeah. Right.
I said it. I mean,
he's immortal.
You had 20 years with the Patriots, maybe now gearing up for a 20-year run in Tampa Bay, taking you to roughly 63, 64 years old when he retires.
Think of all those defensive players, coaches, front office people who will be touched by Brady and immediately do their jobs better.
Yeah, I mean, think about it.
I mean, you know, just a glance. Just a glance from Tom Brady, and injured guys are like, I got to play. I got to play for Tommy.
It happened in the Super Bowl, man.
That's right.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
You can't keep getting away with it.
You can't keep getting away with it.
What the heck was that?
From Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Wow. Also, nice job playing Farside. You're on a roll today,
There's
buddy.
A lot I'm of compliments coming Elijah's way that never happened for Porth.
On fire right now.
You really are. Well, good for Tampa Bay and Brady. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, he's won a championship every year he's been in the NFL, right?
I mean, pretty close.
As far as I can tell. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, has he lost a game?
He does have seven.
Has he ever thrown a pick?
No.
Yeah. Amazing. Perfect human.
Now your greatest quarterback of all time, by the way.
Yeah, he is. I can't argue with it. Is he sponsored like the Michigan coaching staff?
I don't know. I mean,
the IRA, the Michigan State.
Please explain this to people, because you made me aware of this earlier in the show, and I had no clue that this was the case. Had I known this about Michigan and their coaching staff, I would have been making fun of this for years.
Yeah. Well, so Michigan State now gets to be made fun of because it is the Michigan State Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Yes.
Okay. They are no longer just the Michigan State Spartans. They have a presenting sponsor. But yes, Jim Harbaugh is not actually Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh. And this is, believe me, in the state of Michigan.
Hot topic of conversation.
Yeah, I mean, this has been, and of course, you know, normally it's probably from the Michigan State side. No, Jim Harbaugh is the Jay Ira and Nikki Harris family head football coach at Michigan.
Which, if you go to their website, that's what it says. It does not say head coach Jim Harbaugh. It says the Jay Ira and Nikki Harris family head football coach.
And all the coaches have presenting sponsors. So Michigan Most State of. Actually has some catching up to do.
Yeah.
Like or the coordinators do.
Josh Gattis, the Sanford Robertson offensive coordinator.
Very nice.
Mike McDonald, the Lester family defensive coordinator.
I love it.
That is obnoxious.
So my question is, does the Lester family get to call like a blitz a game or something?
Are they,
you know?
Any perks that come with that?
Yeah. Do they get in the headset a little bit here and there and just say, hey, can we stop the run a little better than this?
Zero blitz, baby.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm Harbaugh, that's what I'm blaming the ineptitude on last year. It's like, yeah, I've got too many people in my ear. I got to answer to Jay Ira and Nikki Harris and their family as the head football coach here at Michigan.
I think people should take it easier on the Jay Ira and Nikki Harris family head football coach, Jim Harbaugh.
I had no clue this was the case. Now Michigan State has, apparently they're the Michigan State Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage now moving forward. Is this going to become a thing in college sports where like everybody's going to get sponsored by everyone and it's going to be like the Tennessee Volunteers brought to you by Calhouns? Out there throwing the football around?
Probably.
Looking forward to that.
I think the Vols, you know, we've talked about the parallels between the Vols and Michigan. The Vols should get on this boat right here.
Could be Josh Heupel brought to you by, I don't even know.
The, you know.
Pilot Flying J.
Could be. Well, if you there you go. Well, it's an important family.
Yeah, it
Tennessee
is.
Football. To the, you know, the Stanley family head football coach, Josh Heupel.
Josh Heupel. We'll see if I can get some money tossed in there on that.
Put some change down, you can get in there on that.
If you hired somebody else, maybe I would have. But I'm going to keep my money for Josh Heupel.
Well, I don't know if you were listening earlier, Elijah, but one thing, you know, David Ubbin had a story about Josh Heupel playing music, which is great because Pruitt wouldn't do it, which is stupid.
That's weird, yeah.
But also, he won't play country music.
Wow. Hype stuff only from Josh Heupel. What's the hype?
I'm warming to Josh Heupel.
It's made Joe Rexroad a lot more approving of the hire. We'll put it that way.
I'm feeling that high. I'm telling you, by the time we get to August.
What did I tell you? The day he was hired, I told you. A lot of negativity right now, but as we start to get to July and August, right before we kick next season off, there'll be a lot of Tennessee fans, a lot of people hyped on Heupel.
Absolutely.
Who knew you'd get there first?
Offense. Well, hey, listen, it's based on performance. Right now, his job performance, based on what we know, is good.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alan from Nashville texts in, Yoda said he was 900 years old in Return of the Jedi, which he did say that. So
it was 900. Okay.
Goodbye, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
Think Brady's going to play until he's 900?
900 years old, he said he was?
So yeah.
You guys, very nice. Follow me?
Okay. Well done.
You're the one who likes Star Wars. Porth is the one who's never watched
Star Wars.
He's never
seen
it, right?
Yeah. Which is really un-American.
Have you seen Star Wars, Elijah?
Religiously, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, there's a lot of upgrades going on today here, too. Just saying. I don't want to say it too loudly.
Just throwing that out
He's
there.
Just down the hall.
Joe's about to attempt a coup right here, right now.
Right here on the program. Joe, very quickly, as we get to weekend winners coming up in the next segment, your thoughts on the matchup for Tennessee today against Florida. What is the key to victory in your mind for the Vols against the Gators?
Well, I agree with what Mike Wilson said. You know, defense feeding offense. I mean, it starts on that end. You don't let Trey Mann in the lane and get you in rotation. This team, the overall numbers are very good, but they have certainly sprung too many leaks over the last few weeks. They got to be sound and airtight there, finish defensive possessions with rebounds, and run. I mean, that's how they play best. And I think some aggressiveness, you know, trying to force turnovers too, I mean, that's how they need to play. So play your game. Turn it into transition offense whenever you can. And then in the half court, it's a lot of guys like, hey, Pons, the corner three, they'll let you have it all day. Don't take it.
Please don't shoot the three.
Springer, you have space. I know you love the mid-range. Like, Nate Oates would cut you for all these mid-ranges that you're shooting. Like, you know, just shoot the three. It's good decisions. If they don't turn the ball over, and Fulkerson gives them something like, you know, build on last game, attack, then I like their chances.
Coming up next, it's time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. We're going to try to make you a little bit of money over the weekend with some picks that we've got. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is that time of the week, time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've got some picks to make. Looking ahead at some games this weekend, we'll get into the Nashville Predators, Tennessee and Florida later today. Also some NBA action as well on this list. So looking forward to all that coming up on Weekend Winners. But first, Joe Rexrode, where do we stand right now in terms of this competition? 2 weeks in to Weekend Winners, how are we looking?
Well, last week I went 5-1, got my lock, got 6 points. Porth went 4-2, no lock, got 4 points. And you went 3-3, no lock, got your 3 points. So as of now, I'm first at 8-4 with 10 points, 2-0 on my locks. Porth is 7-5, just a game behind me, but 7 points because he's 0-2 in his locks. You are 4-8, 4 points, 0-2 on your locks. I'll remind you that it's very early.
It is very early. Competition is not going well for me.
Well, this kind of happened in football.
It did.
And we know what happened. You leapfrogged me. So
without further ado, let's get rolling. Elijah Campbell in for Ryan Porth today. Has he left his picks?
He has.
Okay.
He left his picks for me today.
I just wanted to make sure that Porth was prepared in this competition because I don't want to hear any whining next week when this takes place. So let's begin with Tennessee and Florida taking place later this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Tennessee currently a 4-point favorite in this game. Joe Rexrode, you are the leader of this competition. We begin with you. Tennessee -4 in this game.
I got the Vols winning by a point on a late Vescovi 3.
Ooh.
So give me the Gators and those 4 points.
Okay. Elijah Campbell, Ryan Porth in this game is selecting who?
Portholomew is going to be taking the Gators as well, covering that 4 points.
See, this one's difficult to me because if the Tennessee team that I believe can show up and play to their capabilities, I think they'll win this game comfortably. I have no faith that that's going to happen. So give me Florida +4. And, Joe, I'll go a step further. Give me Florida to win this game outright against Tennessee. I don't have any faith in the Vols right now.
I thought you were about to lock the Gators like you locked them last
week. No, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
Not doing that in this competition. Learned my lesson last week. So all of us taking Florida plus the 4 points in this game. I'm taking Florida to win the game outright. The Nashville Predators tomorrow taking on the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. I will start on this one. Give me the Tampa Bay Lightning and make it my lock in this competition. I look at the Predators roster right now, and they are not playing very well to begin with. And then you factor in the injuries slash suspensions that they have on the table. Things have not gone well against the Lightning. Give me Tampa Bay to win this game tomorrow against the Predators and make it my lock. Joe Rexroad, who are you taking in this matchup?
I'll take Tampa Bay. I'll hold off on making it my lock. Really, all of us should make it our lock. But I'll just take Tampa Bay.
All right.
Because I'm winning by a lot. So
there you go. Elijah Campbell, Ryan Porth has selected who in this matchup?
Breaking out the brooms. It's a clean sweep, fellas. All of us going Tampa.
No lock or no?
No lock for
He didn't
Ryan
specify
Porth.
A lock. So I will take the liberty of picking one for him.
Yeah, I like it. I have one in mind. I like that a lot. So all of us taking Florida plus four. All of us taking Tampa Bay against the Predators. This is an interesting one. We'll go to the NBA now. The Grizzlies taking on the Denver Nuggets tonight. The Grizzlies are 3.5-point underdogs in this game. Ja Morant has been playing exceptionally well as of late. Elijah, we start with you slash Ryan Porth in this competition. Who do you like in this matchup? The Grizzlies and the Nuggets. The Grizzlies getting 3.5 points in this.
Coach Porth has faith in arguably the greatest passing big man to walk this earth, Nikola Jokic, and the 3.5, so he's going with the Nuggets.
All righty. Joe Rexroad, as you look at this matchup between the Grizzlies and the Nuggets, Nuggets favored by 3.5. Does the spread scare you off? Are you going with the Nuggets? Which way are you taking this?
I hate when NBA games that really excite me happen like during championship week or during March Madness, you know. But awesome game. And I am going to take the 3.5 points and the Grizz. And I think they might lose a close game, but I'll take the 3.5.
I am also going to take the Grizz in this matchup. I tell you what, if you're in Nashville and you like some NBA basketball, watch the Grizzlies play. I mean, they had about 1,000 points in the paint the other night, so they're fun to watch. I mean, Ja Morant, he is one of the special, special guys in this league. So I will take the Grizz in this game. I will take the Grizz to win the game outright, but that's not a part of this competition, so we'll leave that. So normally we've got four to choose from. The last couple of weeks, the Predators have had two games over the weekend. This time they've only got one. So now we go our separate ways and select three games out there. You can go spread. You can go money line to a point. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And also, I guess, over-under if you really wanted to. Joe Rexroad, let's start with you. As you look around the rest of the landscape of sports, what's your first independent pick that you have in the competition this week?
Well, I said it earlier, and I'm going to put my money where my mouth is on Ole Miss. Getting a point, I think Ole Miss, and I hear you, Elijah, Cam Thomas is a special player, but Ole Miss is playing for a bid. I like the team that won on the court the next day, not tired yet. LSU's coming in cold. Give me Ole Miss and a point against LSU.
Elijah Campbell, Ryan Porth going which way in the independent portion of this competition?
The first one, he has the Minnesota Wild money line over the Arizona Coyotes.
Going with money line. We're going to have to really have a conversation with Porth about this. I also have the Minnesota Wild. I'm going spread with the Wild, -1.5. Against the Arizona Coyotes. Minnesota is playing really, really well right now. They dismantled Vegas the other night, and the goaltending has been outstanding. Arizona got absolutely just drugged through the mud the other night by Colorado. Somehow they held on. Antti Raanta was incredible. Colorado wins the game 2-1 in overtime. At one point, they were getting outshot like 29-3, and it was just a clinic Colorado was putting on. I think Arizona will be tired in this game. Give me the Minnesota Wild -1.5.
See, I feel like you should almost get like an extra half point if you get it. You know what I mean?
I agree.
For going with the spread, whereas
Porth taking
line.
The easy way out, going money line in this competition.
We're really ripping Porth while he's gone. I like this.
Well, I'd rip him on this if he was still here right in front of us.
Yes.
Our second independent pick is what? We'll start with you, Elijah Campbell slash Ryan Porth. Which direction is he going with this one?
This one's pretty bold because he's taking the Jazz -15.5 against the lowly Houston Rockets.
Ooh, -15.5
in an NBA game.
Wow, that's a heck of a line. So Ryan Porth maybe makes up for everything we just said about him, taking the Utah Jazz -15.5 in the game against the Houston Rockets. Joe Rexroad, which direction would you like to go with your second pick?
I'm all college hoops because that's what time of year it is. So give me another team playing for a bid. I like the teams playing for bids. Doesn't always work out for them. But give me Seton Hall minus -3 against Georgetown, and let's hope that the Madison Square Garden employees recognize Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, that would be great. Maybe they can do that, and who knows? Maybe he'll complain about it again if they don't. What do you know about Seton Hall?
I don't know a ton. I have not watched much Seton Hall. But they they had a tough one against St. John's, which is like a classic Big East game, and they got through it, and so they've got they got a little mojo going here. They're right on that bubble. So I think they're gonna win a pretty close game but cover the three.
I am returning to the NBA with my second pick in this competition, taking my heart and going with the Miami Heat minus -2 tonight against the Chicago Bulls. Miami playing much better as of late. Since Jimmy Butler has returned in the lineup, I think they've gotten all the way up to the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference, and they were struggling to begin the season. I like it. Give me the Heat minus -2 against the Chicago Bulls. Joe Rexroad, would you like to begin the final portion of this competition with the final independent pick?
I will. I'm going to go the Big Ten tournament this time. Fran McCaffrey, his teams have often kind of folded around this time of year. Haven't played good defense. It's kind of been the knock on him, but I like how Iowa is playing. There's also the whole they just beat this team factor. But I just think that it's a much better team than Wisconsin. I think Iowa has a chance to make a run in the Big Ten tournament. I'm going to take Iowa minus -4.5 and make it my lock.
So taking a lock for the Hawkeyes against the beloved Wisconsin Badgers.
As I now I'm having flashbacks to all the March meltdowns I've seen Fran McCaffrey have, but I'm going to go with him. Come on, Fran.
I like it. I am going to take the Alabama Crimson Tide today, minus -8 against Mississippi State. I think Alabama has a hot shooting day from the field. We know how much Nate Oates loves the three-point shot. I think they hit from deep today, and Alabama rolls against Mississippi State. Give me the Crimson Tide, minus -8 against Mississippi State. Elijah Campbell, Ryan Porth with the final selection of the competition here today on Weekend Winners.
Ryan Porth ventures to Kansas City to the Big 12 tournament and has Oklahoma State plus +9 against Baylor. He's got a fever. And the only prescription is Cade Cunningham.
Ooh, I like that.
And since he didn't specify what his lock was on here, I'm going to make that the lock because I think Oklahoma State definitely covers. I actually have a feeling they might win this game.
Really?
They're playing their best basketball right now for the first time in weeks. This team is fully healthy. They have the best player on the floor. If you're going to pick an upset in college basketball today, go Oklahoma State.
I want to ask you both question. I asked
you this
the other day off the air. What sort of an NBA player do you think Cade Cunningham will be? I know it's difficult to project sometimes, but what sort of an NBA player do you think he'll be?
A really freaking good one.
Jason Tatum, if Jason Tatum can give out 8 assists a game.
Yeah, he sees the floor, the size, the handle, hits clutch shots.
40-plus percent three-point shooter.
Yeah, he's going to be he'll be the
one. He looks great.
He'll be the one.
Oh, he's going to be the one,
right?
Yeah.
No question about it.
He will be the number one pick. That does it for today's edition of Weekend Winners. Take some notes. So far, Joe Rexroad leading people to the promised land in this competition thus far.
Yeah, I tend to get out of the blocks fast and trip over my own feet. But, hey, hopefully that won't happen this time.
It's like Chase McCabe in a 40-yard dash. We'll continue to discuss this when we come back and also have your Free Beer Friday trivia question coming up. Make sure you're tuned in for
free
that.
Beer.
That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Reds fans, join 102.5 The Game on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can also watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com. /Smashville Live. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rexroad was feeling great up until the point that Luke Combs started to be played, and now the frown has returned to his face.
Please tell me that Porth told you you had to do that. You did not do that voluntarily, did you?
He definitely suggested it. He definitely suggested it. However, the build-up only for the letdown was also pretty comical. I'm not going to say I did enjoy that a little bit.
I mean, of all the things you could have chosen. But yeah, if he suggested it, that's one of those,
Oh, yeah.
Don't mess around with Porth.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. And, don't mess around with Porth.
And to quote at GPander78 on Twitter, I am, quote, a troll lord of the highest order.
Yes.
So I'd be remiss if I didn't do that.
Exactly. So with that in mind,
I would be doing my job.
When you hear that song, you know that it's time for our Free Beer Friday trivia question for your opportunity to win a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Be the first to text in to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Elijah Campbell has today's trivia question for Free Beer Friday.
In the mood of the SEC tournament here, we're going to have an SEC tournament question, and I'm impressed. Ryan Porth came up with this question,
okay.
So props to him for coming up with it. And the question is, Alabama is the number one seed in the SEC tournament for the first time since 2002. I was in the second grade. Who was their head coach the last time they were the number one seed?
So who was the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide basketball team in 2002, the last time they were the number one seed in the SEC tournament? If you know the answer to that question,
that's tough.
Text in at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first person to correctly answer the question will win a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. So we wish you good luck in the competition, and hopefully we'll have an update for you very soon on a winner. I like that question from Ryan Porth.
I think I know, but I might be wrong.
Well, we'll find out here
in
just a few minutes. Joe, let's revisit the poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Which college basketball blue blood are you happiest to see not make the NCAA tournament this year? The options were Duke and Kentucky. It's 275 votes are in. 52% say Kentucky, 48% say Duke. So very close in the voting here.
Great poll question. And yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised either way. I guess I would have guessed maybe Kentucky by a smidge. A lot of people around here really don't like Kentucky. But a lot of people around here really do like Kentucky. I mean, let's keep in mind those wonderful Alabama football / Kentucky basketball fans.
Several of which.
You know you're out there. Oh, have they?
Not specifically right now, but throughout the course of our show, yes.
And they admitted to being Alabama
fans. Oh, yes. We've had a few of them.
What would you pick there?
We ripped them one day.
Yeah, what would you pick there, Elijah? Duke or Kentucky?
Oh, Kentucky. I grew up despising Kentucky, obviously rooting for Tennessee basketball, and I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for Duke because I got to go to a game as a freshman in high school, and I got to be in the Cameron Crazies for a 114-55 shellacking of poor Pennsylvania, and it molded some minor Duke fandom. I thought that was it was the coolest experience.
So Elijah, okay, with some experience with the Cameron, yeah, Indoor Crazies. Joe Rextro, do you have your own experiences with the Cameron Indoor Crazies?
Well, they, I don't know that they, I think they might have corrected me once. They definitely, my coworker, they found a typo in his column. Because they stand, it's actually really, I mean, they stand not right behind you, they stand and are on your back.
On top of you.
They are touching you. And they are spitting on your neck as they scream. So it's like one of those things that I was like, man, this is an amazing experience. And God, I would hate doing this, like covering this
time?
Team every day. Yeah. But yeah, there's nothing like that place. But I welcome all hatred for both of those programs.
Hey, I'm here for it too.
That's what it's about. You know, when you have that kind of success, you should be hated.
That's part of the allure for cheering for Duke too, is that you get to just piss everybody off once they win. Like,
yeah.
In high school, I would cheer for Duke, and when they would win, I'd get really excited about it because I knew it made every one of my friends mad.
I would say that in terms of like players that you dislike the most, I would put Duke at the top of that list.
Oh yeah,
like
they've had some amazing, hateable, punchable guys.
I mean, Grayson Allen.
There's a guy every year. It's every year. There's a guy that's a punchable Duke basketball player. You could do an entire 12-man roster
of
punchable Duke players only in the last two decades.
Like even
so you are not even going to have the ultimate, which is Christian Laettner.
Oh yeah, we could leave Christian Laettner out, and you still would have a loaded roster.
Agreed.
Of punchable Duke players.
Woj, Chris Collins.
Mm-hmm. Would you put J.J. Redick in that category?
Oh my gosh, yes. Are you kidding me? He's the captain, man.
Him and Greg Paulus. I mean, you're right there. Oh, you have two.
Greg Paulus.
And then throw Grayson Allen as the three. Like, that is loaded.
Well, I love J.J. Redick's podcast that he does now, and he's actually a pretty likable guy.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a really good podcast.
No, I agree. He's a much more likable person now. But in punchability while at Duke, I mean, he's a 10 or a 9 out of 10.
Elijah, do we have a winner in the competition as of yet?
We do. Clay Lewis in Clarksville was our winner. He correctly answered Mark Gottfried.
Nice. Joe, were you right?
No.
Was that your guess?
I was like, was Wimp still there? When did Wimp retire?
Oh, man. Not long before that.
It was like pretty close, so,
yeah,
right? Maybe like, that's what I wasn't sure. It was like, was Wimp at the very end there?
It was
that would have been my guess.
Early Mark Gottfried, because he wore out his welcome eventually at Alabama.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Clay in Clarksville, today's winner of a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. We'll have another opportunity for Free Beer Friday coming up on our show next Friday, as we do every single Friday. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris in Nashville texts in and says, love me some Grayson Allen. So Grayson Allen, not universally despised.
Well, he's a Grizzly now. So
yeah, he is.
He's still, I feel like every once in a while he still sticks that foot out a little bit too much.
He has, you know, there was a stretch there where he was tripping somebody every game.
I mean, that's the thing.
Like when Draymond went through his stretch of like kicking people in the groin all the time. There was a stretch of Grayson Allen just tripping people all the time. It was great.
Yeah, don't get me started on the Draymond LeBron thing.
Like, it wasn't just LeBron.
No, but that cost him a ring.
It did.
And like, you could possibly aim there in that play. We'll spend a whole segment on that one day. We'll do this.
We'll get Draymond on the show.
Maybe we will. But we'd have to get the mute button ready.
Oh, I'm aware.
That's one we might have to tape.
Yeah, we might have to do that. In a studio controlled environment. So we'll see if we can
be worthwhile though. It'd be good stuff.
It would absolutely be great stuff. What's the biggest storyline you're looking forward to? You're going to be at the SEC tournament. Elijah Campbell will be at the SEC tournament as well. What's the number one thing you're looking forward to this weekend at Bridgestone Arena?
Well, I'm really looking forward to watching Alabama in person, because I think, you know, if you talk about the SEC, I think there are a few teams that could fit the bill. But I'm really interested to see how they handle being the favorite, the one, possible two seed. I mean, actually, they still could potentially be a one seed. I don't think they're going to get it, but like, you know, they're in there. How do they handle that? What do they look like? Is this a team that can make a run? I'm also, you know, the freshman for LSU and Arkansas. Excited about that tonight.
So we wish you both very good luck. Elijah, have fun covering the SEC tournament.
Pumped.
I bet you are.
Absolutely pumped.
We're going to nerd out tonight.
College basketball kings around me right now, Joe Rexrode and Elijah Campbell. That does it for us today here on the program. Hope everyone has a great weekend. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.